All right, welcome to Blind Cool Tech. I'm Ken Silverman, and I'm with Dr. Jim Thiemann and Leonard Garcia from NASA Goddard's Radio Joke Project. Welcome.
And Thank you very much.
And would you guys like to tell us a little bit about what Radio Joke is?
I'll pass to Dr. Garcia to give us the start.
Okay, well, Radio Jove is a project where people, interested amateurs, students, all kinds of people, can try their hand at exploring the world of radio astronomy through the operation and, well, construction and operation of a very simple radio telescope. And
basically, what the way it works is that they get a kit. Okay, we have a radio telescope in a kit, and they build the receiver, sort of like building a shortwave receiver the way they used to do it out of the manual, and they also build a telescope antenna, actually two dipole antennas which look like two clotheslines running parallel to each other. And so they build this antenna, connect it to the receiver once they've built that, and connect it also to a computer, to take the data, and they have a working radio telescope.
Now, can you get the kits already built if you want to, or
yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, the kit is available as a pre-built kit. Of course, it costs a little more that way, but it's $190, if I'm remembering correctly, plus shipping for the kit unbuilt. And if I remember, it's $255 or something like that, plus shipping, for the built kit. There, you probably should check on the website to make sure that that's the latest price. But the website is Radio Jove, all one word, .gsfc.nasa.gov.
So that would be http://radiojove. .gsfc.nasa.gov.
That's correct.
And that would have all the ordering information and everything.
Yes.
Now, if you go to that website, can you sort of just listen to what Jupiter would sound like?
Yes, yes. We have sound samples of the objects that you're able to listen to with the Radio Jove system. We have sound samples of Jupiter, samples of the Sun, and also Earth noises, which usually for doing radio astronomy is interference for us, but you know, it can be kind of interesting as well. And we have audio samples of each one of those, so you can train your ear to distinguish between those, and then when you operate your equipment, you can verify that that is indeed what you've received.
Okay, now back to you, Jim. I mean, could you tell us what a dipole antenna is, actually, in simple terms?
Okay, basically, if you're familiar with coaxial wire, okay, coaxial wire has one wire wound around another with an insulator in between, okay? That's what you have when you use television, for example, and some other types of electronic equipment. You use coaxial wire. Well, we use a coaxial wire on this as well. And at the end of the coaxial wire, you open it up, and you take the center conductor and string it in one direction, and you take the wire that's wrapped around it and string it in the other direction, so that there are two poles of the wires, basically. Okay, and so these two poles form the dipole, and radio waves striking this will cause currents to run in this wire. So this dipole is an antenna that receives these currents from space.
Now, what sort of frequency do you use, and can you tell me why you would use a particular frequency?
Well, we operate at 20 megahertz, and that frequency is somewhat a balance between where Jupiter and the Sun are most active, as well as a frequency high enough to get above a lot of the ionospheric background, or it allows us to listen beyond our own atmosphere, because the atmosphere acts somewhat like a mirror at lower frequencies and doesn't allow the radio waves to penetrate through and allow us to detect it. So you have to be above that frequency, but not too high, or the objects we're interested in aren't loud enough, are not powerful enough to be picked up by our system.
But what are you actually hearing?
Well, in these cases, what we're listening to are the interactions between charged particles, electrons, protons, but mostly electrons, in a magnetic field. It's either the magnetic field of Jupiter or a magnetic field generated by the Sun. So we're hearing these electrons oscillating within this magnetic field and generating radio waves as they do so. Another source of radio emissions that we can detect is the galaxy itself. It is kind of like an ever-present background hum that's always there, but it is as well another source. And again, it has to do with the electrons and magnetic fields interacting with one another.
Mm-hmm. Now, what, these are a lot of student kits. What, in addition to, of course, learning perhaps how radio works and a little bit about radio telescopes, what do the students do with the data usually?
Okay. There's a number of things that can be done with the data. It depends upon what you're trying to accomplish. A lot of the students would just like to accomplish having heard Jupiter or having heard the Sun or things like that. But once you've done that, okay, then you want to carry it a little farther in terms of what's the scientific meaning behind it. So you can, for example, with solar storms, determine that something has just happened on the Sun 8 minutes ago. That's how long it takes for the radio waves from a solar storm to reach the Earth from the Sun. So you can determine that a solar storm has happened 8 minutes ago, and if it's a particularly large storm, sometimes those radiations will be followed by a plasma coming from the Sun and hitting the Earth, and that in turn can disrupt our communications and things like that. It takes the plasma several days to reach the Earth. So you can, for a large solar storm, for example, predict that there's liable to be some kind of a plasma striking the Earth in a couple of days that might disrupt communications, cause auroras, cause things of that nature. So it's a way of tracking a solar storm from the Sun to the Earth, knowing that that's going to happen.
So would it get much noisier then if you're listening to the receiver?
If you're listening to the receiver, a large solar storm would sort of sound like, well, first you would hear the background radiation, which is just the galaxy. So it sounds like a constant hiss. And then if there's a solar storm, then suddenly it starts to build up in sound. So instead of just being it goes and becomes larger, and it can do that for anywhere from seconds to minutes on a typical, on a really large solar storm. It can last a couple of minutes, and when that happens, you know that there's been a solar storm, and depending upon how strong it is, that may in turn affect the Earth.
So as we're going into, I forget what solar cycle it is. Is it 24?
24.
So would you hear a lot more hissing as the activity rises?
Right. The Sun has been in a very quiet part of its cycle for the last couple of years, and it goes through cycles on an 11-year basis. So it goes from quiet to loud, very active cycle, and then back to quiet again over the course of 11 years. So about 5 years from now, 5 or 6, we should be in a very active part of the Sun cycle and be hearing these things perhaps on a fairly regular basis.
Okay, now, of course, ham radio operators are very interested in the solar cycle, so I believe this is on a ham band, isn't it, actually?
Yeah,
okay.
That's right.
Yeah, it's close to some of the ham mm-hmm. bands there, and close to WWV time signal, which is nearby, and So yeah, there's some activity there, and it is relevant to the ham radio community as well, because that helps in their propagation of signals, because these solar storms change the conditions of the ionosphere again, which allows these signals to propagate.
Now, of course, this is Blind Cool Tech, and I know you've had some blind students working with Radio Jove. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that, and, you know, building the kits and things like that.
Okay, yes. We've had a couple of interns come in to work with us here at Goddard, and they've participated in the program. They've operated the receivers, and they've even built a receiver. We've worked with them in doing the soldering of the components, and we're able to begin the construction of the kit, which they finished on their own later on. But they enjoyed the experience, and they were successful with it.
Yeah, that's interesting, because there are a lot of blind folks think they can't solder. Well, they can, and you know, maybe we'll do a podcast on that one of these days.
That's right. Yeah, we had to adjust things a little bit, of course, and you know, but we figured out a way that that seemed to work for them, and they were comfortable with it, and you know, they got the components soldered in. So I think it was really a great opportunity for all of us.
Well, it sounds like a great project, and you know, it's learn a little bit about radios, radio telescopes, and how to scientifically use data, and we've got blind people actually doing it. And you know, do you guys have anything to add that you'd like to say? Think that about it.
Well, I would just recommend that everyone visit the website. There's a lot more material there, not just the ordering forms, but and the sound samples. But we have our newsletter, we have an archive, a lot of material that has been submitted by the community. There's also software that can be downloaded for free from there, because part of this project is software to enable one to interact with the data and share the data. And so try it out.
I guess I'd like to add that astronomy, visible astronomy, is just a very small part of astronomy. It's a very small part of the electromagnetic spectrum. There's so much more in the electromagnetic spectrum that people cannot see, but which tells us an awful lot about the universe. And radio and visible are the two parts of the wavelength that you can receive on the ground. And so this radio astronomy is a very important field for learning a lot about the universe without being able to see whatever it is that this particular electromagnetic radiation is telling us.
And I, you know, as an undergrad, I was an astronomy major, and everybody used to ask me, well, how do you look through the telescope? And I tell them, well, you really don't. You're collecting the data and analyzing the spectra. So, so yeah, there really isn't much, I guess, stargazing anymore, unless you want to.
That's right. I guess as a professional, the astronomers can sit at their computer and have someone else operate the telescope for them, and then they just receive the data themselves. So yeah, there's been a detachment from actual hands-on astronomy in a lot of ways for the professional community, but here's an opportunity to get yourself really involved in one aspect of astronomy.
And well, that's it. Oh, and Leonard, you do have if folks visit Goddard, I believe, is your kiosk still working?
That's right.
Talk a little about that before we close.
Oh, sure. One of the projects we developed is kind of a spin-off from Radio Jove. It is the development of a museum kiosk, which enables museum visitors to come in and learn about radio emissions from Jupiter and the Sun, and as well as the Earth. And this kiosk is rendered in a way that's more accessible. It's covered with Braille. It has menus that are all voice responsive, so you can hear the menu options and navigate through them. the Braille was developed by the company You Can Do Astronomy, which Noreen Grice is the president of. And it's been here at the Goddard Space Flight Center for a couple of years now, and it's been very well received, and we've had lots of kids come over and try it out, and they've seemed to really enjoy it.
Is it still up at the visitor center?
And it's still there.
Okay.
So next time you're in Greenbelt, Maryland, come on by the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center's visitor center and try it out.
Okay. Well, Dr. Garcia, Dr. Thiemann, I'd like to thank you both for being here on Blind Cool Tech. And, you know, if folks have any questions, I guess there's, I can leave, you know, my phone, name and phone number, and I don't know if you guys want to or not. It's okay. I'll just leave mine, whichever.
Sure, anytime. And I think there's information about how to contact us on the Radio Jove site as well. So
yeah.
Okay, we can just leave it like that, and folks can get on the Radio Jove website. But I can be emailed at kenneth.a.silberman@nasa.gov. That's K-E-N-N-E-T-H .a.silberman, S-I-L, B as in Bravo, E-R-M-A-N, @nasa.gov. Or someone could give me a call at 301-286-9281. And for Blind Cool Tech and the NASA Goddard Education Office, this is Ken Silberman saying thanks for joining us and goodbye.